for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2009 Spring Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Friday morning, April the 10th, 2009. Jerry McGee is the speaker of this service, teaching on Roots of Pride.
Well, bless the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. I'm getting free, y'all. I've been repenting over the Word. Let me tell you, that's the greatest thing you can do, is repent over the Word. If you want deliverance, every scripture you read, either you did it or your forefathers did it. And repent whether you think you did it or not. And basically, this message came out of a... This message is for me. It's called The Consequences of a Prideful, Haughty, and Arrogant Heart. And this came out of me doing Word studies. And you know, when I started doing it, if you'd have said, Jerry, can you name a sin you're committing? And I'd say, no, I'm confessed up and prayed up. I can't think of nothing. But last March, I was given a bad eye diagnosis. And so I knew the world didn't have an answer, because all of my family died blind and they trusted doctors. So I just decided to walk this out. God will know at the end of my life, He'll know if I need my eyes or not. But when I went back to the doctor, he gave me the eye prescription I had 2 years ago. The night blindness is gone, and I see there's some other thing that looks like it's a little, not, I'm not going to confess it. But you know what? God's using this to press me into His Word. When I got into the Word and started looking up blind, eye, see, sight, heart, vision, blinded, and others, I thought, dear God, I saw so much sin in my life. And I tell you, I was prayed up and confessed up. I saw so much sin in my life, I thought, no wonder I've been given a bad eye diagnosis. And I tell you, it's liberating me. And I've said, God, I don't know when I'm being this way, but when I am, You tell me, and I'll stop it. I'll repent. And so, Lord, we come to You in the name of Jesus. And, Lord, we ask You in Jesus' name to move mightily in our lives. Father, we pray that the eyes of our understanding will be enlightened, that we will know what is the height, width, length, and depth of Your love toward us that was manifested in Christ Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus, if You don't anoint this Word, it'll just be a bunch of words. God, I pray that Your Word will be like a fire and like a hammer, breaking rock off of my life and the lives of each person here. Father, I want more deliverance today even. And God, in Jesus' name, I ask that You said the teaching of the wise is the tree of life, that one may avoid the snares of death. Lord, You said that the tongue of a righteous is as choice silver. And so, Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask that You let Your Word go forth and that You anoint Your Word, that we go away changed, all of us. And, Father, I pray that every time we're prideful and haughty and arrogant, that you will convict us, Lord, of our sin. Thank You that we've been raised to sit with You in heavenly places, far above principalities and powers. Father, thank You that all that's going on in this world is underneath us, that we've been raised above it. And we thank You and praise You for that. Lord, we take the keys that You've given us to the kingdom of heaven to bind and loose, and we bind You, Satan, principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, wicked spirits in the heavenly places. We bind You in the heavenly places and on this earth. We forbid You to work with, communicate with, make contact with anyone on this earth or in the heavenly places to work divination against us, against this camp, against Glenn, against any worker at this camp, against this meeting, against our children, our families, our homes, our ministries, our jobs, anything that concerns us and your remnant all over this world, we bind Satan in Jesus' name. And in the name of Jesus, we nullify and make void and cancel every word of death, word of iniquity, curse, assignment, and ritual spoken over us in Jesus' name. And Lord, we praise you that last night you stopped the hail, you stopped the storm, and that you protected us like you're going to protect us. Thank you, Lord, for encouraging us. And we bless you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Praise your name. Praise your name. I want to tell you that if you have a physical problem, do a word study on that body part. And if that body part is not there, or even if it is, then start doing a word study on your symptoms. You see, the best the world can do is put a Band-Aid on your spiritual problem. Sickness is rooted in sin. And the Bible says a curse without a cause cannot lie. Deuteronomy 28 tells you that sickness is the curse. And so you can go to the world for answers, and they can cut it out, shift it around, patch it up. But if you don't find the spiritual root to it, you're not healed. You don't want a superficial healing. You want to be healed. In Jesus' name, if you've got anything wrong with there's over 800 or around 800 heart scriptures. And so whatever the body part is, I'll tell you another thing that encouraged me. I didn't see much happening with an eye, with a skin cancer in eye. That's another thing that I'm asking God for. I've had it taken off once and it came back. So that's telling me, hey girl, you didn't find the root to it. And so anyway, as I started doing these word studies, and I've done them for years and years, but it caused me to really press into the Lord. I didn't realize there's anything wrong with my ears. Since 1992, I listen to Bible tapes as loud as I'm talking. And I noticed that the 72, what I always listened on 72, now I listen on 52 because 72 is too loud. And so God healed my ears. I didn't know there's anything wrong with my ears. And the other day I said, Lord, I need encouragement. And in the process of all of my repenting, I happened to be into Psalms 37, and I started looking up the word fret. Never in my life have I ever seen myself as a fretter, because I've never seen myself as a fearful person. But God showed me that my whole life I've been a fretter. Fretting about how I look, fretting about am I doing everything right, fretting about I want to do things, and it's good to want to do what God wants you to do. But fretting, am I hearing God? Fretting, am I doing this? And of course it goes back to a daddy that expected me to be perfect. And obviously I'm not. My two sisters could rob a bank, and my daddy had never say nothing to them. But I was the firstborn. And if I even wore red fingernail polish, he'd tell me I looked like a Jezebel. And I love my daddy so much, so please. He went to be with the Lord last March. I'm not criticizing him. I love him so much. And I always wanted to please my daddy, and I know that's why I want to please my Heavenly Father. So I thank God that he was hard on me. And I praise God that I wasn't the sister that didn't get corrected, because correction helps us. And anyway, the other day, I've had a 70-year-old digestion problem. My mother said when I was a baby, I'd spit up all the milk. And do you know that in the process of all of this repenting, I want you to know that my digestion is totally healed. I can eat peanut butter, I can take fish oil, I can drink water. I don't get acid reflux anymore. So let me tell you, the most important thing you can do besides obey the Lord is get in the Word of God, because the time is coming really soon that the only Word you have will be in your heart probably. So get into God's Word. Listen, the Lord has opened up a sewer in my life of sin that I didn't even know was there. And I can tell you, you have a sewer too. And, you know, people think, well, you know, I don't know. There's nothing. I've repented of everything. No, you haven't. Just get in the Word if you want to know. If you want an idea of what you need to repent over, get in the Word. Now, I don't do that because I'm legalistic. I'm not doing it because I'm trying to perform for God. I do it because I love God. And the main thing is in Matthew 6, it says that if your eye is clear, your whole body is full of light. And if your eye is bad, your whole body is full of darkness, which means toiling after your idols. If your eye is clear, it means your eye is unadulterated. And every time you repent of something, God takes out more darkness and puts in more light. And we're to be lights that shine out in this world. The Bible says in Matthew that God's children will shine forth like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. And so I want more light, because if you look in a big light, it blinds your eyes, right? And when the powers of darkness or the enemy is looking at you, you'll be so bright that he can't see you behind the light. Amen? God's blinding light. Amen? God tells us to put on the armor of light, and that's one way we do it. Okay, be repenting of these scriptures, as these definitions, as I tell you the definitions of pride. Be repenting, and you'll get more deliverance. When I was looking up these definitions, most of them fit me. It says the definition of pride is holding an unduly high opinion of yourself. You know, Job was self-righteous, and he was a fretter. And he was full of pride. And that was the root of his problem, was pride. But yet he was the most righteous man that lived upon the earth. He wasn't perfect. But the Bible says that he was righteous because he feared God and he turned away from evil. So when you see sin in your life, turn away from it. And you and I are just clay full of junk. But God looks at our heart. And man looks on our outward appearance. Pride is an excessive belief in our own worth, merit, superiority. Pride boasts and brags of its position and accomplishments. It is exaggerated self-esteem filled with conceit and haughty behavior, self-importance and arrogance. Pride is an insolent and empty assurance which trusts in its own power and resources and shamefully despises and violates divine laws and human rights. Pride makes an empty presumption which trusts in the stability of earthly things. And there are strong storm warnings that are posted for the man who walks in pride. The God's Word says that just like the law of gravity, something that comes down, the law of gravity pulls it down. There's laws of physics, there's laws of aerodynamics, there's laws of chemistry. Just like there are those laws, there's spiritual laws that says wherever you're in pride, you'll be brought down. And everything will be exposed. Proud means independent. Have you been independent? Oh, mercy. That runs in my family. Self-sufficient. I came out of generations of people that just hang in there and let the front end drag. God help us. Which, somebody asked me earlier, what was arm of the flesh? That's arm of the flesh. Where you're just going to do it because you never had anybody to help you. And it's kind of a Lone Ranger spirit. My daddy, when he was 16 years old, was kicked out of his house, kicked away from home, and he rode freight trains when he was 16 years old, and he died last year at 94, and that's where that Lone Ranger thing came in—a generational curse. We need each other. I need you, and you need me. Amen. And we all have a part. But pride means strict, punctilious, high-minded, lofty. Elevated, now this is what proud means. Elevated, reserved, are y'all repenting? Filled with pride, pleased, self-satisfied, gratified, contented with self, conceited, vain, smug, self-satisfied, boastful, bragging, egotistical, swollen, vain. And I bind every spirit that would not confess Jesus Christ as Lord. Lord, I bless your children with insight, with revelation, with understanding. I bless them with the fear of God. I bless them with the conviction of sin. I bless them with the spirit of repentance. And me too, Lord. Know it all. My husband used to tell me I used to be on the Watergate hearings. Can any of y'all identify with that? You know, you maybe are quick to repent when you see you're wrong, but you're never wrong. Pompous, overbearing, assuming, affected, puffed up could be one of the reasons why we're bloated. My grandmother used to talk about how bloated she was. Pride. Aloof, inflated, bloated, arrogant, insolent, flaunting, patronizing, haughty, exalted, condescending, supercilious, which means dictatorial, lordy, disdainful, contemptuous, intolerant, snobbish, high and mighty, imperious, uppish, uppity, snooty, cocky, stuck up, snotty. And then arrogant means full of or due to unwarranted pride and self-importance, overbearing pride, presumption means to be bold to excess. Oh my goodness. I used to think that, you know, I'd see a scripture, the godly are as bold as a lion. And because I was bold, you know, I think, oh, that's good. No, my boldness was coming out of overconfident, which is, Now, I don't think that one fit me. That was the only one. My humble and proud of it, right? Both, but let's see. Where's the word that... anyway, I can't find it. Conceit means... Oh, insolent means to be rude. And, you know, I'm not rude until I get into a restaurant and get a slow waiter. Or I get India when I'm on tech support. Would you please give me someone that can speak English and understand what I'm saying? The last time I got on there, it took me 2 hours to get the message. They kept transferring me. The first lady hung up on me. And the next one, then I got transferred somewhere else. And the Lord said, you didn't pass the test. I said, okay, Lord, I'll do better this time. So the next time, I was a little nicer. The Lord said, you still didn't pass the test. And the next one, I was getting nicer, but I still wasn't nice. My daddy used to say, Jerry, you could kick somebody's seat and there's a smile on your face. Anyway, by the time I got to the eighth person, I was nice. Anyway, nothing can test our patience like getting India, and they outsourced all of our jobs all over the world. And anyway, that's another story. Conceit is always implies an exaggerated opinion of oneself, one's achievements, vanity, pride, vainglory, egotism, self-love, self-esteem, self-importance, ego trip, bragging, boastful, to think highly of self. I have a high opinion. To be smug, strutting, bombastic, stuck up, puffed up, arrogant, disdainful, haughty, superior, contemptuous, scornful, arrogant, supercilious. Egotism, self-admiration, self-praise, bragging, conceit, vanity, self-absorbed, self-important, haughtiness, arrogant, overly proud, scornful, aloof, disdainful, contemptuous, overbearing, high and mighty, and snobbish. Pride was the first sin to destroy the calm of eternity. It was pride that cast Lucifer out of heaven. It was pride that cost our first parents their place in paradise. Pride is the first sin to enter man's heart, and it's the last to leave. You know, pride is like an iceberg. You can think you got it sawed off at the water's edge, and more floats up. Because when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, they lost their covering and they lost their glory. And when Jesus came to die on the cross for us, He came to redeem us and to get the devil out of us. And the Bible says in Job 41 that Satan is king over all the sons of pride. So wherever we walk in pride, Satan is king. And no sin is more offensive to God than pride. Pride's been referred to as the complete anti-God state of mind. It militates against God's authority, God's law, and God's rule. This is why the Bible equates rebellion with witchcraft, where it says rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft and all iniquity is as idolatry. Pride assaults God's throne and asserts independence in an attempt to dislodge God as the sovereign of the universe. God and pride are like oil and water. They don't mix. Pride is dogmatic in its antagonism to God, and God is absolute in His opposition to pride. The Creator never has and never will compromise with pride. In contrast, humility is the foundation of all virtue, but pride is the essence of all sin. The world system operates on the basis of pride for all that is in the world. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the boastful pride of life is not from God, but from the world. And the Lord detests pride. He even hates a proud look. If you'll go to Proverbs chapter 6, please. We're going to be turning to quite a few scriptures because I've got notes written here. Verse 16, there are six things which the Lord hates, yes, seven, which are an abomination to Him. Haughty eyes and a lying tongue. Now, King James says a proud look and a lying tongue. Now, haughty here means to lift up oneself, to rise. It means to be powerful. It means to be elated in your mind or to elevate yourself or to exalt. And the word look or eyes in the Hebrew means to flow out with water, tears, like a fountain. It means in my eyes, in my opinion, according to my judgment. And the eyes is the index of the mind. Many passions of the mind, like pity, desire, pride, and envy, are manifested in the eyes. Because how I see things, if I see with pity, if I see with envy, sinning with my eyes. And when I looked this up, I really saw the root to my, and of course they're 90% better right now. But my eyes would just run down with water. I'd just be sitting there and tears would run out of my eyes. And the eye doctor said, well, that's just what the old people get in the nursing home. It's called dry eyes. It comes from a haughty look. And when I saw that, I'm telling you, my eyes are 90% better. They would feel gummy and watery, and they still do it a little bit, but there's just more things that God wants to show me. And I'm going to keep on doing this till I go into heaven because I'm thinking, if God, I wasn't even praying about digestion, but, you know, if I do this, no telling what God will fix next that I didn't even know was broke. And I thank the Lord, you know, I'm 70 years old and I'm on no medication. But God has shown me that He sent His Word to heal me. Take gospels. Was it Milton Green that used to say gospel or someone else? We need gospels. And God detests pride. He even hates a proud look. It goes on to say, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, and feet that run rapidly to evil. So Lord, forgive me for having a haughty look, a proud look, a haughty eyes, and lifting myself up to rise, and forgive me for this powerfulness. God, forgive me for elated mind and elevated mind and exalting myself. God's loathing of pride is unalterable. It says in Proverbs 16:5, everyone that is proud of heart is an abomination to God. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes that a patient spirit is better than a haughty spirit. Meaning that if you're impatient, you're haughty, and if you're patient, you're not haughty. I guess in all my life, impatience has been probably one of my major sins. And that came in growing up. My mother had a grocery store, my daddy had a gas company, and you'd have to wait till they got home from work, and it was my whole life I'd be waiting. And I'd go to school and I'd say, Mother, come get me. She said, that's me coming around the corner. And an hour later, she'd show, Mother, where are you? And I've had to repent of a lot of mother issues too. Did you know that God uses people in your life to mirror what you haven't yet forgiven your mother and father for or asked God to forgive you for? Those turkeys in your face are just mirrors that God's trying to show you unresolved childhood issues. Recently, I really have had some family member that was treating me so mean, and I thought, you know, this person has treated me meaner than any person I've ever known. And as I started asking God to show me my logs, the Lord showed me that she was treating me just like I had treated my mother. You see, that even though I'd repented, whatever you do sets in motion forces that cause you to reap in kind what you've sown. And so now when some turkey's in my face, I say, okay, Lord, did I judge my mother and father for this or did I do it? You see, God wants to set us free. And if you don't deal with your issues, you'll end up being bitter. One day I was in church and a girl said to me, she said she was going to do a certain thing. And I don't get angry easy, but inside that made me so mad. Now, I didn't let on to her that it made me mad, but I said, Lord, why did that make me so? I was, you know, when we were cleaning up after we eaten, I just started in my heart saying, Lord, why did that make me so mad? And the Lord said she was going to do what your husband did. Well, I thought I'd forgiven him for everything. The Lord showed me another issue of something else that I had not forgiven him for. And you know, you can generally forgive everybody, but you've got to specifically forgive for specific instances if you want healing and deliverance. And so I said, Lord, I forgive him for that. And all of a sudden, she wasn't an issue anymore. You see, my conscience, there was an area of my conscience that was not clear, is why it bothered me. Now, had I not dealt with that, I'd still be aggravated at her. But I dealt with it. I saw it was a log in my eye. And Jesus said, when you get the logs out of your eyes, then you can see clearly how to get the logs out of someone else's eye. Now, you'll change for sure when you get your log out. They may change. Your perception will change. Or you could care less if they have a speck. Amen? And so that God wants us to deal with our logs. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes that a patient spirit is better than a haughty spirit. And so, more definitions of pride. So be repenting. Inordinate self-esteem, an unreasonable conceit of one's own superiority in talents, beauty, wealth, accomplishments, rank, or elevation in office, which manifest in lofty airs, distance, reserve, and often in contempt of others. Insolent. You know, the Lord showed me when we judge somebody, for example, say you judge somebody that's just being too slow. That's one of mine. It used to be. And the Lord keeps putting you around people that do everything slow. Because another lap around the mountain, you didn't pass that test, so I'll send you through that again. But the Lord showed me the big pride in judging is when you judge somebody else, unconsciously you're comparing yourself to that person. And you're really taking credit to yourself for what God has given you. If He's given you a good mind, and you're thinking, boy, so-and-so over here is stupid, you're really taking credit to yourself that you've got a good mind instead of giving God the glory and the credit for giving you a good mind. So, Lord, we ask You to give us new eyes as to how to see people. We ask, Lord, that You give us Your eyes. We want Your ears. We want Your eyes. We want to see everything from Your point of view, Lord. It means distance, reserve, and often in contempt of others, insolent, rude treatment of others, generous elation of heart, a noble self-esteem springing from a consciousness of worth, elevation, loftiness, decoration, ornament, beauty displayed, splendid show, ostentation, making a display from vanity, boastful, fond of presenting one's endowments of works of others in an advantageous light, being showy, gaudy, intended for vain display, proud persons. You know, if I'm timid and shy, or if I'm wanting attention, it's all rooted in pride. My dad gave me a new Cadillac Eldorado one year, 1986, and I was going to a little church in Van, Texas that Dave Wilkerson was pastoring. And I would park that car a mile or two down the road because I didn't want anybody to see it because I thought they would reject me because I had that car. And you see, that is just as prideful as if I'd have drove right up in the front door and wanted everybody to see it. Intended for vain display, proud persons. Haughtiness means proud and disdainful. Having a high opinion of oneself with some contempt of others. Lofty and arrogant. Manifesting pride and disdain, supercilious, arrogant, the act of quality of taking much upon oneself, that species of pride which consists in exorbitant claims of rank, dignity, estimation, or power, or which exalts the worth or importance of the person to an undue degree, proud contempt of others, presumption, bold and confident to excess, supposition of the truth or real existence of something without direct or positive proof of the fact, but grounded on circumstantial or probable evidence which entitles it to belief, blind or headstrong confidence, unreasonable adventurousness of venturing to undertake something without reasonable prospect of success or against the usual probabilities of safety, unreasonable confidence in divine favor, rash confidence, willfully done with bold design, rash confidence, or in violation of duty. You know, unreasonable confidence in divine favor. I remember one morning I got up and I prayed a couple of hours and I bound Satan and I broke curses and prayed a hedge of protection, a wall of fire, God's warring angels around me. And I was splitting down the road in Lindale looking at a new cell phone while I was driving, and I ran a red light and knocked a man's wheel off his truck. I said, "Lord, I don't understand, because I prayed and covered all my bases." And the Lord said, "You've been speeding for a long time, Jerry, and I have spared you and I've had mercy on you, but I want to show you that I'm not pleased with your rebellion toward authority." And that's undue confidence in divine favor. God knows the haughty from afar. Those who lift themselves up, He sees us. Proverbs 20:21 says, "Proud, haughty, scoffer are all those who act with insolent pride." So what are the symptoms of pride? Pride has little use for God because of intense feelings of self-sufficiency. That's Psalms 10:4 and Hosea 7:10. Pride causes picking on those below you because of intense feelings of superiority. Psalms 10:2. Pride causes haughty speech of presumption and disrespect of honorable things. And I know that's one reason that I've had the skin cancer on my nose. Because nose has to do with discernment. It has to do with judging what you see and how you see it. Oh, God. There's so much that's tied in with all of this. But I know I'm going to have the victory. I know God's going to heal me. And even if He doesn't, I want to be squeaky clean when God begins to pour judgment out upon this world. Amen? Because I love the Lord, I want as much of Him as I can have. And you do too. God says He wants above all that you prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers. And your soul will prosper in proportion to your prosperity, and your healing will be in proportion to a prospering soul. And you cannot get a prospering soul by listening to tapes or by watching TV or even by reading books, even though good books are a blessing, and I can't wait to read your books. I love this, to hear this man teach. I love it. So anyway, I'm going to get all your books. But your soul prospers as you get in God's Word, because it says in Revelation 3, "I would that you were hot or cold. If you're just lukewarm, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth." And He says, I advise you to buy from me gold refined by fire," which means gold that's in the Greek, it means gold that's been buried in the ground and you have to dig it out. And this is the gold right here in God's Word. And the false prophets have just about destroyed the church, but the people that they're destroying are the people that's what they wanted. In Ezekiel 44 and Sons of Zadok, they're the priests that God leaves in there because this is what the people want. But the sons of Zadok are for God's remnant, for God's children. They separate the holy from the profane. Bless God. And you know, I like what Andrew Strom says. He said, "If the first word out of a prophet's mouth is not repent, I discount everything he says." And I don't think any prophets in the Word of God were popular. I don't think it's a popular thing. And I have never found that there's money in the ministry. Right? It usually costs you more than you ever receive. So something is messed up about all these moneyed, where you see money hanging off of everything. Personally, I think they've been bought off by the one world government and by the House of Rothschild. In fact, the man that owns Fox News also owns Zondervan Book Pub. They own most of the major book publishing companies, the news media. In the 1800s, the House of Rothschild owned 50% of the world in the 1800s. And now they own everything, the Federal Reserve, the IRS, and the presidents. So pride causes contention and fighting because a proud person cannot forgive or overlook. You know, a person that's full of pride will not admit that they're wrong. Now, that doesn't fit me because I have a tendency to say, "I did it, I'm sorry, I'm guilty." There's one that doesn't, right? Anyway, But if you're always wanting to blame somebody else for your problems, you know what? You'll never get delivered. God wants you to deal with your own stuff. Pride causes excessive talking because a person is in love with hearing themselves. Have you ever been around a person that just talks so much you just want to scream? It's demonic. And pride, the Bible says that pride's at the root of contention and strife. Have you ever been in a disagreement with your mate and you go in the bathroom and you're binding the devil, but he don't go away? Have you ever done that? You're the spiritual one. And he doesn't go away because you're in pride. And Job 41 says he laughs at the rattling of the javelin. You're going, nye, 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 Satan, and he just laughs at you. Pride causes men to slip in a few little tidbits about their ability or difficult life. Pride causes men to resent correction because they're stubborn in their own conceit. And if you take the time to think about sins, you can allocate them to the three categories of 1 John 2:16, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life. Now, the consequences of pride. The first consequence is eye problems. 1 John 2:16 says, all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life. Numbers 12:3, it says, now Moses was the meekest man that lived upon the earth, and his eye at 120, his eye was not dim, nor was his strength abated. And I'm seeing that pride is the major root to eye problems. Proverbs 21:4, haughty eyes and a proud heart, the lamp of the wicked is sin. Go to Proverbs 21, please. 21 verse 4. It says, haughty means height, elevation of mind, pride. King James says, high, eyes, high look. There again, its eyes flow out with water, like a fountain, like tears. When I say in my opinion, according to my judgment, what I think is best for me. And there are many passions of the eyes. And a proud, inflated, hear the word, and a proud heart, and the word proud is inflated. If your heart is inflated, it could be the root to enlarged heart. The lamp of the wicked is sin. Isaiah 5:15 says, so the common man will be humbled and the man of importance abased. The eyes of the proud will be abased. It means brought low, brought down. Psalms 18:27, for thou dost save an afflicted people, but haughty eyes thou dost abase. Go to Psalms 18, please. It says, for thou dost light my lamp. Well, let's back up here. For thou dost save the afflicted people, but haughty eyes thou will abase. To lift up oneself, to rise, to show oneself powerful, and it means an inflated mind. But haughty eyes thou dost abase. For thou dost light my lamp, O Lord. O Lord, the Lord my God illumines my darkness. There was a time that if I had my glasses on, I could go out in a dark garage or a dim place and I couldn't even see with my glasses on. In a dim place, I couldn't read the thermostat on my air conditioning system without turning the light on, and now I can barely read the thermostat. So things are getting better. Amen. Proverbs 30:13 says, "There's a kind, oh how lofty are his eyes, and his eyelids are raised in arrogance." And then it says in Proverbs 30, "The eye that mocks a father," the eye means in my eyes, in my opinion, as according to what seems best to me, that mocks, ridicules, makes fun, or laughs at a father, and scorns, which means despises, treats with contempt, and values very little a mother, the ravens of the valley will pluck out his eyes. Now, I used to see that this way, and it's true. That when we get our buttons pushed and we go through circumstances, we kind of lose our perspective. Have you ever got your button pushed and blew up or got mad and then looked back and thought, what was that all about? Act like a maniac. You know, when we get our button pushed, we don't even act like we got good sense, right? Unless we're just real reserved, right? So it does mean that I saw it that when we go through getting a button pushed, we lose our perspective in circumstances. That's how I saw it. And that's true. But I saw the other day that it is one of the basic roots to macular degeneration of the eyes. Because when you have macular, it's like your macular is deteriorating and little pieces are breaking off, which is floaters. And if that doesn't sound like the ravens of the valley picking out your eyes. And then another consequence of pride is that you'll be humbled. Well, let me give you the root to, one of the roots to glaucoma is Psalm 73, where it says, the garment of violence, pride is their necklace, and it means like a neck chain. You know, we can have God's beautiful ornaments, or you can have ornaments of pride. In Proverbs 1, it says, hear, my son, your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Indeed, it's a graceful wreath about your head and ornaments about your neck. So Ezekiel 7 says, when you have idols, which is pride, you exchange God's beautiful ornaments for ornaments of pride. And in Psalm 73, it says, their eyes bulge out from fatness. Pride is the necklace. The garment, it's the attire of a harlot, covers them, and their eye bulges out with fatness. And that word fatness means their eyes swell out. And that's pressure on the eyes that would cause your eyes to swell out. So, Lord, forgive me for pride. And then you'll be humbled. That's another consequence of pride. Go to Daniel, please, chapter 4. Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, and Daniel interpreted it, and he told him that his kingdom was going to be taken from him, and that the vision applied to Nebuchadnezzar. And he says in verse 26, and in that it was commanded to leave the stump with the roots of the tree, your kingdom will be assured to you after you recognize that it is heaven that rules. Therefore, O king, may my advice be pleasing to you. Break away now from your sins by doing righteousness, and from your iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, in case there may be a prolonging of your prosperity. Now, verse 28. All this happened to Nebuchadnezzar the king. 12 months after Daniel told him this, he was out on his balcony, walking on the roof of the royal palace of Babylon. The king reflected and said, is this not Babylon the Great, which I myself have built as a royal residence by the might of my power and for the glory of my majesty? While the word was still in the king's mouth, a verse came from heaven saying, King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is declared sovereignty has been removed from you. And you will be driven away from mankind, and your dwelling place will be with the beast of the field. You will be given grass to eat like cattle, and 7 periods of time will pass over you until you recognize that the Most High is ruler over the realm of mankind and bestows it on whomever he wishes. Immediately the word concerning Nebuchadnezzar was fulfilled, and he was driven away from mankind and began eating grass like cattle, and his body was drenched with the dew of heaven until his hair had grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird's claws. But at the end of that period, I, Nebuchadnezzar, raised my eyes toward heaven, and my reason returned to me, and I blessed the Most High and praised and honored him who lives forever. For his dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom endures from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are accounted as nothing. But he does according to his will in the host of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and no one can ward off his hand or say to him, what hast thou done? At that time my reason returned to me, and my majesty and splendor were restored to me, for the glory of my kingdom, and my counselors and my nobles began seeking me out, so I was reestablished in my sovereignty, and surpassing greatness was added to me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise, exalt, and honor the King of heaven, for all his works are true and his ways just, and he's able to humble all those who walk in pride. Amen? Ask me and I'll tell you. God wants us to be humble, because when we operate in pride, we're operating under the character and nature of Satan. And because Jesus says, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon your neck and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble, and you shall find rest for your soul, for my burden is light and my load is easy. And it says in Luke chapter 6, verse 40, Jesus said, after a man is fully trained, he becomes like his teacher. So make sure wherever you go to church, make sure that your pastor is being taught by the Lord and that your pastor is walking uprightly before the Lord. Otherwise, you need to get out of there and find a shepherd with a pure heart. Will you ever find anyone perfect? No, but someone that is as submitted to God as they know how to be. Amen? And they won't be compromising. Another consequence of pride is you'll be deceived. Obadiah 1:3, the arrogance of your heart has deceived you who live in the clefts of the rock, in the loftiness of your dwelling place, who say in your heart, who will bring me down to earth? And then another consequence is swelling, puffed up, and inflated. 2 Corinthians 12:20 says, for I fear lest when I come I shall find you such as I would. I shall not find you as such as I would, that I shall be found unto you such as ye would not, lest there be debates, envying, wrath, strife. You see the pride in all this? Backbiting, whisperings, swellings. New American Standard says arrogance. But King James says swellings, which means arrogance. It means the puffing up of a soul. It means loftiness and pride. Tumults, which means instability, a state of disorder, disturbance, and confusion, dissensions, and factions. Another consequence of pride is that he'll put a hook in your nose and a bridle in your lips, and he'll turn you back from the way you came. 2 Kings 19:28 says, because of your raging against me, and because your arrogance has come to my ears, therefore I'll put my hook in your nose and my bridle in your lips, and I will turn you back from the way you came. I want to go to 2 Kings, and I want to give you the definition there of that hook, because the Lord showed me that that hook is to tame an animal. And I shared this at a certain place, and there was a person that, and I happened to say, you know, God may put that hook someplace else. And when I said that, this man said that he felt a hook leave his stomach, and that was when a certain sin that he had been involved in entered his life, and that's when the hook entered his in his stomach, and he was delivered. Okay, Second Kings 19. It says, you know, because I've never seen myself as an angry person or a raging person, and my daddy always would boast that I was the daughter that no matter what happened, I would always come and tell him I was sorry before, even if he hurt my feelings or if there was something that he did or I did, I would always go to him and say, I'm sorry. And I know that's why I've never been angry at God. Because even as a little bitty girl, I would always go to my daddy and tell him I was sorry. I always had to have the relationship right. And so I used to read this, and it says, because of your raging against me, for I know you're sitting down and you're going out and you're coming in and you're raging against me, and I never saw that I had ever raged against God. But when I looked up the definition, I saw that I had. It means to act with anger, to be tumultuous, supercilious, which is dictatorial, feeling or showing haughty disdain, exhibiting contempt or disdain, condescending attitude. Dictionary is arrogance, in overbearing pride, overestimation of one's own importance. Basically, when we complain against our circumstances, we're raging against God. Because if the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord, and we're complaining about our circumstances, hey, God says, because of your arrogance and you're raging against me, I'm going to put a hook in your nose and a bridle in your lips. And the definition, and I'm going to turn you back from the way you came. And the word hook means a ring put through the perforated nostrils of an animal to tame it. Years ago, when I was healed of allergies through just repenting over the word, after my son died of AIDS in 1989, I developed a sinus infection that lasted a year and a half. And nothing, no medication would work. And finally, I found one medication that would work. And but when I took the medication, my largest slack's like this much hooking. And I thought, I'm not taking this medicine if I never do get healed. So I pulled up every symptom I had. The Lord had already shown me that it was pride in my mouth, but I didn't know how, you know, I didn't know how it related. And so I just decided that I would practice what I'd been telling people to do. and I pulled up a stack of computer sheets 2 inches high. It took me 3 days to repent over all of them. After a day and a half, I said, "Oh God, I saw so much pride in my life." I said, "Oh God, you must be so sick of me." This was back in 89, and I'm still repounding in pride. Because back then, I would read the Word, and I think, you know, this sounds, my daddy needs to read this. Oh boy, my sister needs to read this. Oh boy, my husband Bob, now that fits him. But I went, "Oh God, that's me. That's me. That's me." I said, "God, you must be so sick of me." At the end of 3 days, I was almost healed, except one side of my nose was just a little bit stopped up. So then I started pulling up scriptures on nose. And when I got to the scripture in in Job 41, where it talks about Leviathan, which he's king over the sons of pride, it says, "Can you put a rope in his nose?" And I had a vision that God was trying to tame me and restrict my words. And it was like he was holding a rope in my nose. I said, "Oh, God, forgive me. I feel like I got a rope in my nose." And my nose opened and my allergies were healed in 19. That sinus infection that lasted a year and a half, God healed. And so this hook is like to tame an animal. Do you need to be tamed? Evidently, God thought I needed to be. Because you know something, you know what? When you don't, until you have a problem, you don't really even see your need for anything changing. So thank God for your problems if they draw you close to God. And they should. You'll either get bitter or better. And bitter's no good. Bitterness is like poison, drinking poison and waiting for someone else to die. It says, "And my bridle," I'm going to put my bridle in your lips. I was teaching a seminar in Lindale once, and I had a prostitute, a girl that had come out of prostitution that attended my church. And she said, "Pray for me, I feel like I've got something in my mouth." And I thought of the scripture that says, don't be like a senseless horse or mule that has to have a bit and bridle in his mouth to keep him in check. And I said, "I just take off that bit and bridle when I led her in repentance of her rebellion." And she said, "It's gone." You see, in the spirit realm, we got stuff on us that only the angels, demons, and powers of darkness can see. Today at 1 o'clock, I'm going to teach on spiritual nakedness, which means to show you things that we should be clothed with and the shame things we shouldn't be clothed with. And if, you know, we are all dressed up, but in the spirit realm, we could be butt naked sitting there in the congregation spiritually. So hopefully today the ladies are going to get covered up. The nakedness is going to get covered, and if your guys are interested, get the tape from Glenn, and because there'll be deliverance prayers at the end. Okay, another consequence of pride is destruction. Proverbs 18:12 says, "Before destruction, the heart of a man is haughty, but humility goes before honor." You know, we want honor before humility. God says that you have to be humble before there's honor. And then the wrath of God is another consequence. And whenever you see the wrath of God is carried out by the powers of darkness. And 2 Chronicles 32:26, "However, Hezekiah humbled the pride of his heart, both he and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so that the wrath of the Lord did not come on them in the days of Hezekiah." And then your prayers will not be answered. They'll be hindered. Is another consequence. Job 35 said that there they cry out, but he does not answer because of the pride of men. In fact, pride is behind everything because it's Satan's character and nature. Inability to hear God is pride. Job 33:17 says that he may turn a man aside from his conduct and keep him from pride while he sleeps. And then there's foot and leg problems that are a consequence of pride. Psalms 36:11 says, "Let not the foot of pride come upon me, and let not the hand of the wicked drive me away." I remember there was a teenage girl that kind of showed off a lot in our church, and she was into cheerleading, and she got a foot problem, and the Lord showed me it was the foot of pride. It's like something actually attached to your foot. Another root, if you're bitter towards your path, you know, you can have arthritis in your feet. Or maybe if you weren't bitter, but your forefathers were bitter. I just came from North Carolina, and I saw a lot of African Americans healed just when there was this one lady had calluses on her feet. And she said, my mother's feet and my feet are in such pain. And when I led her to forgive the slave owners for working her forefathers and making them stand on their feet and walk until they had calluses on their feet, her feet were totally healed. And she broke soul ties by breaking that curse, and she actually danced out of the church, praising God. I see a lot of African Americans healed just through forgiving the slave owners for what they did to forefathers. We were in Houston once, and there's this gay lady. She was just all bent over like this, and she had no smile. I mean, she was just bent over and bowed down. She said, I've got arthritis in every cell of my body, every bone in my body. And the Lord gave me a word of knowledge that she had had a forefather that was beat with a whip in slavery. And when she forgave the people that beat her forefather and broke soul ties with them and her relative and the slave owners, she was totally healed. The next day she came and she had the joy. She had the most awesome countenance. She said, I don't have not one pain in my body. And she was just radiant, praising God for what He had done. Mouth problems, Psalms 59:12, on account of the sin of their mouth and the words of their lips, let them be caught in their pride and on account of curses and lies which they utter. Psalms 101:5, whoever secretly slanders his neighbor, him will I destroy. No one who has a haughty look and an arrogant heart will I endure. Psalms 75:5 says, do not lift up your horn, your mouth, on high. Do not speak with insolent pride. And that means to be rude, insolent, obnoxious. Neck problems. Now you can choose God's necklace or you can choose a different necklace. And that's Ezekiel 7:20. And they transformed the beauty of his ornaments into pride, and they made their images of their abominations and their detestable things with it. Therefore I'll make it an abhorrent thing. And in Psalm 76, therefore pride is their necklace. Pride being the neck being the seat of pride. And then another consequence is labor and sorrow. Psalms 90:10, as for the days of our life, they contain 70 years, or if due to strength, 80 years, yet their pride is but labor and sorrow, for soon it is gone and we fly away. Another consequence is dishonor. Proverbs 11:2, when pride comes, then comes dishonor, but with the humble wisdom. God says the humble get grace. Any area that we are not that we are operating in pride, we have no grace. And then stumbling is another consequence. Proverbs 16:18, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before stumbling. Jeremiah 50:32, and the arrogant one will stumble and fall with no one to raise him up, and I shall set fire to his cities, and it will devour all his environs. You know, about... I'm guessing 7 to 8 years ago, I broke my ankle. My foot slipped. I didn't go to the doctor and have it x-rayed because I saved myself $1,000. I got in the Word of God and I started repenting over foot slipped. I pulled up on the computer, foot slipped, and I saw it was rooted in pride. There again, I was repenting of pride. Oh God, I pray I don't have to do this again. I pray you take it out of my life now. I don't want to be that way. Stumbling. You know, God doesn't deliver us from everything at once. We couldn't take it, right? It's little by little. So He's been taking layers of pride off, and probably He'll be doing it the rest of our life. Another consequence of pride is apostasy and spiritual drunkenness. Go to Isaiah 16:6, please. It says, we have heard of the pride of Moab, an excessive pride. Even of his arrogance and pride and fury, haughtiness, his idle boasts are false. Therefore Moab shall wail, everyone of Moab shall wail, means cry out and lament. And Moab means apostasy. Maybe that's, go to Jeremiah 48. Apostasy means falling away from from the faith. So spiritual drunkenness is rooted in spiritual harlotry. There's a movement going around that's revival to get drunk. If you do word study on drunk, drunken, sober, alert, drunk, you'll see that it's a judgment on the harlot. And the harlot is someone that prays a prayer to receive Jesus and their heart goes after another lover. They commit spiritual adultery or spiritual harlotry against their bridegroom Jesus. And the consequence of that is that God mixes up a wine. And if you'll do a word study on wine, you'll see He mixes up a wine, the wine of His wrath, that He makes the harlot drink to make her drunk. And so it's a judgment. It's not a blessing. There was a pastor that attended this Todd Bentley thing in Florida. And I told her that it wasn't the Lord. So she told me she didn't want to talk about that anymore. But she kept emailing me for prayer. And one of the prayer requests was, she was in a hotel room after the storm. It wiped out everything she had. Her car, her home, her church, and everything was underwater after that last hurricane. And she was in a hotel room, and she fell out of bed and broke her tooth. And I said, I emailed her, and I said, I don't think you're going to want to hear this, but a spirit of drunkenness came on you at that Todd Bentley meeting, and that's why you broke your tooth. I have not heard from that lady since. And Lord, we pray that you'll get a hold of her heart. And Lord, we ask you to touch her in Jesus' name. And Lord, we ask you to bless her with the truth that makes her free in Jesus' name. And then another consequence of pride is that you'll be taken captive. Go to Jeremiah 30, please. I'm sorry, Jeremiah 13. Verse 16 says, give glory to the Lord your God before He brings darkness and before your feet stumble on the dusty mountains. And while you're hoping for light, He makes it into deep darkness and turns it into gloom. But if you will not listen to it, my soul will sob in secret for such pride, and my eyes will bitterly weep and flow down with tears. Why? Because the flock of the Lord has been taken captive. The flock of the Lord has been taken captive. The flock of the Lord has been taken captive. And then there'll be destruction on your children. That's Ezekiel 24. You'll be desolate. Ezekiel 33. I shall make the land a desolation and a waste, and the pride of her power will cease, and the mountains of Israel will be desolate, so that no one will pass through. Zephaniah 2:9-10. Therefore, as I live, declares the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, surely Moab will be like Sodom, and the sons of Ammon like Gomorrah, a place possessed by nettles and salt pits and perpetual desolation. The remnant of my people will plunder them, hallelujah, and the remainder of my nation will inherit them. This they will have in return for their pride, because they have taunted and become arrogant against the people of the Lord of hosts. Hallelujah. And then another consequence is that you'll wander from His commandments. Psalms 119:21, thou dost rebuke the arrogant, the cursed, who wander from His commandments. And then strife and contention. Proverbs 28:25, an arrogant man stirs up strife, but he who trusts in the Lord will prosper. And then one of the major roots of Alzheimer's is exchanging the truth of God for a lie and worshiping the creature rather than the Creator. So God gives him over to a reprobate mind or a depraved mind. Exchanging the truth of God for a lie and worshiping the creature rather than the Creator. And if there's ever a time in your life as a Christian that you don't continue pursuing God, continue and asking God to cleanse your life, you can't ever go back. It's almost like you have to continue to renew your mind. It says in Romans 12:1, present your body to God as a living sacrifice and be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And so that's one of the roots to Alzheimer's, us not doing that. Just kind of just sitting back thinking that you've got everything you need. Now listen, the saints want more. Amen. The saints are not content with lukewarm. And then alcoholism, deception, lust, gluttony, discontentment, and pride go hand in hand. Habakkuk 2:5. Wine betrays the haughty man. So he doesn't stay at home. He enlarges his appetite like Sheol. Can I tell you, there's poverty curses on some of you because of alcoholic forefathers? Because the alcoholic and the drug addict, they waste their wealth. And then we judge them, and then it passes on to us. And then be cut off and rejected is another consequence. Leviticus 23:29. If there's any person who will not humble himself on this same day, he shall be cut off from his people. And then pride's at the root of heart problems. Psalms 69:32. The humble have seen it and are glad. You who seek God, let your heart revive. Hallelujah. Psalms 10:17. O Lord, thou hast heard the desire of the humble. Thou will strengthen their heart. Thou will incline thine ear. And then failure. Daniel 5:20. But when his heart was lifted up and his spirit became so proud that he became arrogant. And because of time, I'm just going to read the references so we can pray. Be scattered, Luke 1:51. God scatters all those who are proud in the thoughts of their heart. Pride could be the cause of leprosy. And I'm seeing through my study about skin cancer that leprosy is a form of cancer. And right now I'm doing a message on worshiping the beast. Whatever sin you practice, you're worshiping the beast in that area. And the Bible says he'll pour out a malignant sore. Sores, plagues, 2 Chronicles 26:16. Naaman was prideful. When Elijah wanted him, was it Elisha or Elijah? I don't remember which. Wanted him to dip in the Jordan. He got angry and he raged. And the Bible says that he worshipped Rimmon, and he worshipped false gods in the house of Rimmon. And when he humbled himself, God healed him. And then in sickness, 2 Chronicles 32:25, destruction. Proverbs 15:25, the Lord will tear down the house of the proud. Another consequence is baldness and scalp problems. And it's a wonder I have a hair on my head. So if you don't have any hair, don't think it's... Anyway, I'm just saying that... Huh? God says that he'll pluck out the scalps. It's in Isaiah 3. He'll pluck out the scalps of the daughters of Zion. Instead of a belt or rope, instead of well-set hair, a plucked out scalp. And then you'll be unbearable to God. Psalms 101:5. You'll be removed. Zephaniah 3:11. You'll be abased and brought low. 2 Samuel 22:28. You'll be punished. God will bring you down. Isaiah 10, Isaiah 13, Isaiah 25. Isaiah 28, 1 through 3 says, woe to the proud crown of the drunkards of Ephraim and to the fading flower of its glorious beauty, which is at the head of the fertile valley of those who are overcome with wine. The proud crown of the drunkards of Ephraim, which is another word for Israel, is trodden down. So stand up and ask the Lord to show you if there's any areas of pride in your life. And if you tell me no, I'll tell you're lying. You need to repent. My little granddaughter, I used to call out to Maine. I'd say, Holly, she was 3. I said, Holly, do you suck your thumb anymore? No. I said, Holly, liars go to hell. Said, you're supposed to say, Grandmother, I'm working on it. So next time I called, I said, Holly, do you suck your thumb? And she said, Grandmother, I'm working on it. This godly girl, I have to brag on her. She just turned, when she was 19, she graduated from the University of Texas. And she doesn't know it's for the preaching the gospel, but she was hired by KTRE in Lufkin and KTLV. And I thought they're going to put her in the broom closet, but she's on the news, 2 or 3. She's a reporter, and she just turned 20. And that's Holly. And she has never had a boyfriend, never been kissed, has such high standards, and is so godly. And I'm telling you, God is just blessing everything she touches. And, of course, the news, that's demonic, but she's going to preach the gospel. That's why she's a communications major. Amen? Well, bless the Lord. Lord, in Jesus' name, search my heart, test my thoughts, show me, God, any area that I need to repent of. In Jesus' name, praise you, Lord. I ask for the truth that makes me free. And Lord, I ask you in Jesus' name that every time I'm being prideful or arrogant, haughty or impudent, or insolent or rude, or fretting, God, if you'll tell me, I'll repent. Because, Lord, I'm not even aware of how I act sometimes. I ask for the truth that makes me free. Lord, I ask you to forgive me for being prideful. Forgive me for pride, having a high opinion of myself, being high, elevated, having a haughty look. a high look, God, being independent. Forgive me for being self-sufficient and strict and punctilious and high-minded and lofty and elevated. God, forgive me for being reserved and filled with pride, self-satisfied, boastful, bragging, egotistical, swollen, swelling, vainglorious, being a know-it-all, being pompous, overbearing, assuming, affected, puffed up. God, forgive me for being aloof and inflated and arrogant and bloated and condescending and insolent and rude and flaunting, impatient, patronizing, contemptuous, intolerant, snobbish, high and mighty, powerful, manifesting power that's not of you. Forgive me for operating in the flesh, being snooty, cocky, stuck up, snotty, arrogant, conceited. God, forgive me for being disdainful, superior, egotistic, presumptuous, having excessive confidence to excess, confidence in myself, not in you. Haughty, overly proud, scornful, disdainful. God, forgive me for usurping your authority. God, forgive me for being antagonistic to you. Forgive me for judging others, comparing others to myself, and taking the credit for all you've done. I ask you to forgive me, Lord. God, forgive me for assaulting your throne and asserting my independence in an attempt to dislodge you as sovereign of the universe. God, I ask you to forgive me for a proud look. Forgive me for being an abomination to you. God, forgive me for not having a patient spirit. God, forgive me for inordinate self-esteem, unreasonable confidence of my own superiority and talents, beauty, wealth, accomplishments, rank, or elevation of office. Forgive me for lofty airs and distance and reserve. And God, would you please forgive me for having being showy, timid, shy, wanting attention, wanting the center of attention, being showy, gaudy, haughty. God, forgive me for being dictatorial. God, forgive me for having a haughty air and a haughty walk and walking in pride. Forgive me for taking much upon myself. God, forgive me for haughty speech, contention and strife and fighting, excessive talking. God, always talking about myself. It's all about me. God, forgive me for resenting correction and being stubborn. Forgive me for the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the boastful pride of life, having haughty eyes and a proud heart, and that forgive me for wickedness. God, forgive me for that I've raged against you and that my arrogance has come into your ears and you put a hook in my nose and a bridle in my lips. Lord, I ask you to take out the hooks because of sin. God, forgive me for pride that would bring destruction and bring your wrath, hinder my prayers, cause me not to be able to hear you, cause foot and leg problems and mouth problems. Forgive me for pride that would cause neck problems, stubborn, stiff neck, that would cause my eyes to bulge out with fatness and pride to be my neck chain. God, forgive me for pride that's caused labor and sorrow and dishonor and stumbling and apostasy and drunkenness. The pride that's taken me captive, Lord, I choose to listen to you today. God, forgive me for pride that's caused destruction, desolation, and me to wander from your commandments. God, forgive me for strife and contention. Forgive me for exchanging the truth of God for a lie and worshiping the creature rather than the Creator. God, forgive me for pride that's opened my family line up to alcoholism, deception, lust, gluttony, discontentment. God, forgive me for pride that would cause my house to be torn down and me to be cut off and me to have heart problems and failure. God, in the name of Jesus, I choose, Lord, to seek you and let my heart revive. God, forgive me for pride that's caused me to be scattered, the pride that's caused leprosy and sickness and destruction and baldness and me being unbearable to you. Forgive me for the pride that would cause me to be removed, abased, brought low, punished, and brought down. Forgive me, Lord, in the name of Jesus for all of these pride. In Jesus' name, Father, I just repent. In Jesus' name, Lord, I take accountability. And I ask you, Lord, to break generational curses, soul tie curses, cultural curses of everything I've confessed. Now, in the name of Jesus, I come against pride, arrogance, boastfulness, leave. Hypocritical, come out. Insincerity, false, leave. Two-faced, dishonest, deceitful, out in the name of Jesus. Just blow out. Deception, truthless, immodest, out. Exaggerated, out. Pompous, self-centered, out. Bragging, boastful, pretension, I command you to go. Self-aggrandizement, out in Jesus' name. Imperiousness, overbearing, arrogant, dictatorial, domineering, supercilious, out in Jesus' name. Tyrannical, bossy, judgment, go in Jesus' name. Critical heart, out. Criticism, judgmental heart, out in the name of Jesus. Self-righteousness, pride, fretting, out in the name of Jesus. Ostentation, go in Jesus' name. Overbearing, leave. Arrogance, high-handed. God, forgive me for mocking my father, scorning my mother, that which you would cause the ravens of the valley to pick out my eyes. All spirits of self-confidence, overconfident, out in Jesus' name. Self-assured, impudent, presumptuous, out in Jesus' name. Overproud, out. Patronizing, pharisaical, hypocritical, out. Piousness, religious spirits, out. Pompousness, out. Self-importance, out. Swellings, bloatings, out. Swelling, out. Go, lofty, theatrical, flashy, self-glorifying, out in the name of Jesus. Self-importance, priggish, bigot, hypocrite, pretender, fault finder, nitpicker, formalist, prude, fuddy-duddy, out in the name of Jesus. All spirits of punctualist means demanding, rigid, strict, fussy, particular, finicky, oh goodness, Lord, forgive us, forgive me. Forgive me, Lord, for being picky, rigid, stiff, fussy, out. Sanctimoniously, aggressively devout, self-righteous, out. Fretting, out. Self-absorbed, out. Aloof, out. Self-admiration, self-approval, self-assured, out. Self-centered, self-conceit, self-concern, self-conscious, self-content, self-esteem, out. Self-glorification, self-image, self-important, self-indulgence, self-interest, self-love, self-pleasure, self-reliance, self-righteous, out in Jesus' name. Self-satisfied, self-seeking, self-sufficient, selfish, self-will, smug, complacent, vainglory, vanity, out in the name of Jesus. I break your power. All spirits of arrogance, out in the name of Jesus. All spirits that would cause their eyes to water. Macular generation, out. Glaucoma, out. Blindness, out. In the name of Jesus, we break your power. We break the power. All heart problems have to go. In Jesus' name, we break your power. All arteriosclerosis has to go. All anger has to go. In the name of Jesus, we break your power. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, all spirits of disdain, all lies that we're superior, we break your power. All lies that we're inferior, that's pride too, out in Jesus' name. We break your power in the mighty name of Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, mighty God. Would you feel a release? Lift your hands. Praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. Lift your hands and praise the Lord. Praise you, mighty God. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Thank you for this food. Thank you for all the workers here at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp. God, I just praise you for each one. I ask you, Lord, to lift all the burdens from this camp and from their heavy loads. And I ask you to bless the finances, bless the food, sanctify it, purify it. Thank you for another day of freedom in America. Thank you for another day of a roof over our head. Thank you for cars and jobs and finances for another day of it. Thank you that another day we can go to the grocery store and buy what we want. We don't take it for granted. We praise you right now in Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Wouldn't it be sad to have everything you had that you're griping about now, everything you had taken away from you? Wouldn't it be sad to think, you know, I didn't thank God when I had it? So start praising God for all that you've got, because you may not have it much longer. Amen? Bless you. I love you.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.